The Damaged Goods Podcast.
Involved with these fucking people, is it? Do you just walk up to them and go, I want to be in the fucking Winter Hill gang?
I definitely don't think application process is like that, but you usually, there's a few ways. Family is a big thing. Like if your father or your uncle is involved, or even like there's like classic cases of you know, Sicilian mafia from Italy where somebody would marry a girl and that woman's, you know, father was a big mob boss. And so that was their way to get in, you know?
What if you personally know Joe Pesci?
I don't know if that's going to get, it might get you like an invitation to some cool, like after party at Sundance or some, you know, Hollywood shit.
I can't just name drop him and then all of a sudden I got an interview with some guy named Tony Scaglione.
Like I said, most of these actors like have no real connection to like any crime. Right. They just, you know, they've played so many roles and they personify the character so well, you assume. Like De Niro is a theater kid. He ain't a tough guy. He's a theater actor. But there is a few actors, like, you know who James Caan is?
Yeah.
Right? Like he was in Godfather. A lot of, he's a Jewish dude from the Bronx. He was like super tight with a lot of mobsters because he played gangsters in some movies and whatever. But like I can't remember who it was, but I want to say it was some Lucchese made man. He was like a groomsman or a best man at that dude's wedding. He was hanging out with real mobsters. Best Boston movie of all time, The Friends of Eddie Coyle, which I own. I'll let you borrow.
Friends of Eddie Coyle?
It's based off a book. That's
the only ones I know are, you know, like the fucking, New Age ones. The towns and the
This is a 70s one, so it's like epic time. There's a couple real gangsters, and Robert Mitchum, you might not know him. He was like a very famous actor, 50s, 60s, 70s. He was like Hollywood bad boy in the 60s.
Yeah.
So he's the main character in it. And when he came to do the movie, there's a guy in it who's in, you see in The Godfather?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mo Green, the guy who gets shot in the eye, like the dude who's running Vegas. Yeah. His name is Alex Petricone, Bobo Petricone. He's from Somerville, Mass. He was in the Winter Hill Gang, this Italian dude. He was implicated as the driver to the murder of Bernie McLaughlin, who was like the leader of the Charlestown mob, which is the neighborhood my mother's from.
Yeah, that's right.
He wasn't the shooter, he was the driver.
It's not Southie, is it?
No. South Boston is like south, Charlestown is like northeast. But they're both Irish, tight-knit neighborhoods, very similar. But anyway, he was the driver for this.
But he's a townie, that's a townie, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. He wasn't a townie. They're from Somerville, which is next door, and they killed this dude who was the head of, you know, the mob from Charlestown's Irish mob from, like, you know, the townie dudes. And then he fled Massachusetts and went to California, and he got off. He didn't get implicated because they were working with a corrupt FBI dude. They were kind of informants. So he goes into Hollywood, and he ends up in The Godfather, and then he ends up in this movie, Friends of Eddie Coyle. And he's a former real gangster. So when Robert Mitchum comes to Boston and they're filming this movie, this dude, Alex Petricone, is in the movie. And Robert Mitchum's like, yo, I want to meet some real gangsters. I want to meet some Winter Hill dudes. And there's photos, I'll show you, where Alex Petricone takes Robert Mitchum, who was a huge Hollywood star at the time, and they're like going out drinking and hanging out with like the Winter Hill gang, like Howie Winter was like, I think, the boss at the time, and all these other dudes. And like, so there is some like real, you know, Hollywood actors do hang out with real gangsters, but most of the time, Joe Pesci is not going to get you in there. And that curious, ambitious voice of Damaged Goods is my man, live touring merch mastermind, Kyle Stokes. Very curious about getting into organized crime, which he's trying to figure out how to get into the mafia at age 30.
31, dude. 31, yeah. Shit, yeah.
It's never too late. Most guys don't get made until they're in their 50s, but
no shit? Is that a real thing? Like, you're not going to be a made man when you're 30 years old?
It happens rarely. Usually it takes a little time.
But you got to have a few, like, you got to have a body count at that point.
Not anymore. You know? It used to be that. And it's either that or you have to bring a lot of money to the table.
Okay.
To be made in, at least in the Italian mafia, you either had to be a killer or an earner.
So if I was in the, like, I'm assuming all mafias and mobs, and I'm not going to say gangs because I guess those are kind of different, like a street gang than like a fucking,
a little looser.
But if I was in, you know, say the Winter Hill gang, or I was in the Lucchese, or I was, you know, in the Genovese or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I was in any of those, I have to bring something as far as money, right? Like they have to probably, I would assume, take like a percentage of like.
Well, everybody kicks up.
My job or whatever.
Everybody kicks up, not just in like Italian organized crime, but anything. So, you know, there's a little hierarchy, a power structure, and so everyone's kicking up. So you might be running numbers. You might have like a book means like, you know, people betting, loan sharking, you know, yeah, in sports yeah. or whatever. Or maybe you're selling drugs or you're running, you know, some dudes were burglary experts or running heists, you know, robbing armored cars. And whatever the take is, you kick up X amount to the boss every month.
Stealing identities.
Yeah. And that white collar crime is a big one now. Hey. And it's whatever a month you have to kick up to the boss. It doesn't matter where you get it from, but you got to do that. And that's the perk of being a boss. And, you know, some dudes obviously would hold out on certain crimes so that if the boss doesn't find out, they don't get a cut, but that gets you killed, you know?
Hey, how do you, or fuck, you've seen that fucking dude. He's on every YouTube show when it comes about.
Like Sammy the Bull, Michael Francis, one of these.
Michael
like,
Francis, yeah.
He's another one of these like guys who was a real monster.
He was a real made man, yeah.
I hate all the guys with like the YouTube shows and shit are dudes who are rats, right?
He was a real rat, yeah.
They're all rats. He was a rat. Because if they aren't a rat, they're still in prison or they're still...
How has he not been killed or like...
Because that doesn't happen as much anymore because there's too much heat now, right? Because you're on YouTube. You've got,
it's not
like
the
this,
80s anymore.
You've got this light on you, so it doesn't pay to go kill him. That's why there's less mob hits in general. But those guys, like, there's a lot of very popular informant dudes with these YouTube shows or writing books. And it's like they always tell the same stories and they're real. You know, these dudes did live a crazy life, but they have the ability to kind of like play shit up a little or maybe change the truth a little because no one's really there to refute it. The real gangsters are not talking. They're either active or they're in jail. So these guys can say like that they were present for or they were involved with certain crimes that they weren't. Like, yes, they might have killed somebody or done some crimes, but they'll like cop out to other murders they didn't do or they were like involved in crimes they had nothing to do and they will talk shit. Oh, this guy wasn't really that tough or this guy was really a rat. They're all just saying this because they can. They get away with it. It gets some views. It gets some clicks. It gets some money, whatever. And it's like the same 7-8 dudes and they're just...
What about, I saw on...
Damaged Goods is now an official organized crime podcast.
It is.
We no longer talk about art. No, I'm joking. This is like
all crime.
This is a fun passion of mine that isn't anything I get to do professionally, and I love to talk about it. So
I don't have any friends that are real interested in crime. I mean, it's not like I'm a criminal or anything. Like fucking A.
He is a merch guy on tour. He makes your favorite bands money. When you stream their albums and you buy tickets to their shows, they don't make any money. But when you go buy that hoodie, that's $80.
I make them
that
the money.
20 shirt. Dudes like Kyle Stokes are putting them in the red or the black or. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go. That's better. Reds, blacks. Yeah. I love your curiosity about organized crime.
Well, you know what? I've always kind of like, and it's not a true crime. I guess I'm into true crime as well, but I really
this is
like organized
crime.
Yeah,
but I know what you mean. The fad of
like people talk about, you know, why did this husband murder this person? You know, shit like that. But I'm into like, I'm real into the fucking organized, like you know what I was real fucking into, and I still am. Fucking organized biker crimes,
in
dude.
In Canada, the biker fucking, mobs, the biker gangs in Canada are significantly
gangs,
powerful.
Clubs,
yeah, they're clubs.
Know?
But in Canada, they are on a higher level of power than in America. They're,
what?
Dude, the biker clubs in Montreal and Quebec and Ontario are super powerful, and they run like neck and neck with like the Calabrian mob up there, the Sicilians, even the Irish mob. They're more powerful up there than they are in America. Probably more notoriety down here because you hear about the brawls, the fights, the feuds. But up there, they make some heavy money.
Dude.
They kill motherfuckers. They're a lot more prominent in Canada.
I see a lot of, in Venice where I live, I see a lot of Mongols.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they go to Hanano's a lot.
Yeah, my boy, I think you might have met him, is a Mongol.
May have I don't know.
Yeah, I'll say his name off air. You've met him before. He's a Mongol, and he lives in Venice.
Maybe I have met
him.
Yeah,
and
dude.
I mean, I know his clubhouse is technically in, I think it's like Highland Park is where
the
Mongol
is. I just
want
to fucking go up to him and just like, hey, just tell me every... Fucking! I just
dude, don't
want to
do
know
that.
Some
they're
shit.
Not, dude, that's the best way
I'm
to not.
Gonna, I know. I'm not gonna. You know what I'm saying? But it, like, I want it to be. You know, we're in a situation. We're fucking hammered. Like, we're. Hey, dude, tell me some crazy shit, dude.
Serum,
I want to know some fucking National Geographic.
That's when you
got to
drop a little LSD
wanna,
in there. Like, get the truth serum.
Yeah, I want to know some History Channel shit. You know, like, who's the real
like,
badass?
They change their voice like this, and they put you in the shadows, like, or about, like the.
That's what I want to know.
I always felt like half the time when they
tell nobody. I'm just curious.
I know, but they don't want to tell anybody because they'll get their ass whooped. And I've heard from some people that are in biker clubs that are recognized by like the FBI as like gangs, right? Like the FBI
considers them as gangs. They
and some of these people in these clubs,
dude,
like
yeah.
they're like, not everybody in this is doing criminal activity. Some yeah. of us are just in it. But I'm
and
like,
that's true. That's
yeah,
not everyone.
But I mean,
is.
But they are like operating on a high criminal level. So
well,
you
yeah.
might not be, but you could get charged with a RICO charge because you're affiliated, right?
Oh, yeah.
So even though maybe you're in the gang, you just like to ride motorcycles on Sundays and have a blast and wear a cut. Even if you're not doing any crime, your boys are, and you're in association with them because you're wearing it on your back. That
yeah.
cut is like a signal. So or like the government could charge you with a RICO. Like these guys over here committed robberies and murders or whatever. So now you're going to get implicated too because you're. That's how it works with like the mob, organized crime. So bikers get hit with the same shit. So it's a risky affiliation to have just for fun.
You know, you can't like, you can't. The bikers operate on a level to where like, you know, if you're like if you're a biker, but you're not in a biker gang, they don't even want to see you wearing like a fucking, like
well,
a patch. Like say
oh,
you created your own
yeah,
patch.
Yeah,
like it just says
to.
a patch of a picture of your face on the back.
Ah.
They don't want to see that
yeah.
shit, you know,
yeah.
even if it's a Harley Davidson, like they want, they like I was watching something about it the other day on YouTube. It was like this group of guys that they're just like a group of best friends. And they're not even in a fucking club. They're just a group of fucking dudes that ride together. And
but yeah, you can't dress like that.
Yeah. So they created their own patch. And they were in, I don't know, somewhere, excuse me, in fucking Arizona. And they saw a bunch of Hell's Angels.
They're like, yeah.
And the Hell's Angels, and they went up and started talking to him. And the
like
Hell's
buddy buddies.
And the Hell's Angels, they were nice to him and they were professional, but they asked him, the first question they asked him was, who gave you permission to wear that patch?
Yeah.
You know, and I would say, oh, fuck. And the guys go, we thought we could, they're like, no, you need to go through the, what is it?
Prospect.
You got to go through like some type of channels
yeah.
of, as far as like, what's the bike? There's like a, what's the biker organization? The national bikers fucking, there's like some association though, like a hot, like not a hot rod, but you know, like how there's national hot rod. So there's something like that for motorcycles,
oh, okay.
you know? And so like, that's how clubs have to get chartered and chaptered
oh, yeah. I mean,
and whatnot.
Like my,
and then they all have to get like approved.
You have to be a prospect. Like my boy, the guy who's the
and
Mongol,
shit.
He was a prospect for like a year.
No, I know that. I'm talking about like to start your own club.
Oh, to have like a registered.
To like start, yeah. So like if you're not a part of any registered club and it's not like, you can't just create like some patch and wear it on your
yeah.
fucking back.
I mean, there's a lot like, you
know?
You were looking at that Russian prison tattoo.
Oh yeah,
well,
that shit's
like those,
fucking
all intense. Their tattoos have certain significance and you can't have certain ones unless you've done certain things. And if you say you violated certain codes, you know, whether it's snitching or whatever, I mean, they frown like heavily upon homosexuality. So if you say
yeah.
in prison you did that,
they would
hate me. they will either they give you the option, like you cut.
What if you were bisexual?
I don't know. I mean, now this is like old Russian mafia, but they'll make you cut out the tattoo or scrape it off, or they'll do it for you if you're not willing to, like, you know?
So speaking of, I'd be a good gangster. I'd be a good one.
Good, like a nice one or like a successful one?
I mean, both. You know, I'd be a nice, I'd
amicable
be like, I wouldn't have to be fucking popping caps unless it was absolutely necessary. I'd be like respectful. I'd be like, hey,
old school gentleman,
you're
gangster.
You're short $2,800. Why? All right, tomorrow, if you don't make it up, we're going to have to talk about it now.
That's how it starts. And then
you
get
know
put
what
in
I mean?
Situations where you would have to become more ruthless because it's just like
no.
a jungle. Somebody else is more ruthless, and then your reputation is
dude,
subject.
I've got tattoos, man.
I do too, man. That some of the toughest guys don't have any. Nowadays, tattoos
you know,
are silly
I'm
and
tough.
Soft. I mean, you are a tough dude. You served a couple tours and stuff. And, you know what? It takes a lot of strength and toughness to do, you know, organized crime, but I think it's a different strength and toughness to go hit 4 taco trucks in an hour and 35 minutes.
I mean, that's
still
gangster,
standing
though.
And
yeah.
not fall asleep. I was actually very worried you were going to fall asleep.
I was
me.
Close, man.
So
I gave a couple of warnings. You know, I was.
I know you and you did
in,
well. You stayed
was,
awake. That Coca-Cola, Mexican Coca-Cola, real Coca-Cola,
that actually
not cocaine.
That
I'm
actually
about
fucked me up a little bit more. I think
it did.
I think
I
it like
it
made
digestion.
My stomach. I thought it was, and then it made my stomach more full.
Oh, yeah. So Kyle and I, this is like a little damaged goods recapping. We just ventured successfully on the taco crawl of doom, the taco crawl from hell. Went to the east side of LA, Boyle Heights, and hit 4 top tier legendary taco stands / trucks in LA. Some of the best.
We went to the hood today and we had all the best that the hood had to offer.
The 4 that are probably in everyone's top 10. Some of these are always in the top five. We hit, what did we hit? We hit Carnitas Momo. In this order, right?
Carnitas Momo.
Mariscos Jalisco. La Única, which is a birria one, and then Los Tacos
Original Birria.
Yeah, yeah.
Goat birria.
Yeah, the real shit. Chico.
They were doing birria before anybody was doing birria.
Yeah, and most of the time when you get it in America, it's beef for a few reasons. One, it's probably more accessible. And
cheaper, easier.
People are scared of goat if they don't eat, if they're not familiar with other cuisines. I love it. I grew up eating goat.
Yeah, we used to eat goat in Afghanistan all the time.
Yeah, dude, like I in the West Indies, curry goat. Beef is not big down there. They don't really have cows.
They don't have cows in Afghanistan.
But here, if you're marketing birria, like if you said goat, a lot of these fucking little kids out here would be like, eh. So you get them with the beef, the birria de res, and it's easier. But the goat is a different, whole different texture, whole different flavor. I love it. I really don't, I'm kind of sick of beef birria. I like the goat birria, dude.
That's why I don't get it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first birria I'd had in months, dude. But, yeah, we ate fucking... I thought we were going to probably spend 3 hours doing this because these are all within less than 10 minutes of proximity to each other. And we hit them all in like an hour and fucking 35 minutes.
All right. So I gave you my order.
Oh, of favorites. Mine was actually the same as yours. I had to think for a second. And maybe
taco is great. Yeah. But here's the thing about it, though. It's a different, it's special. Like,
yeah. It's not a Baja style shrimp taco. Yeah.
It's a Baja style taco, Sonora style taco, you know?
They don't fry the shrimp first. They put the shrimp in the taco and they flash fry it so it's all crunchy and then they put a little red salsa got ceviche on top of it.
It's like nothing you've ever had before. Yeah. Really. You know, it's like.
Turn that mic right there so we can get you in there.
It can't even be put in the category of like a street taco because it's on a whole other level of a fucking street. That was a fucking, like that was a treat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was a fucking treat. But when it comes into the realms of the tacos, the Carnitas Momo is the fucking best carnitas in all of Los Angeles.
Yeah, hands down. And
The best service. I thought it was a joke. They came up to me whenever we first got there and they go, oh, here's a sample. And it's a whole fucking taco. They give you a free taco before you even order a taco.
Yeah, it's bigger than most places' tacos.
And it's free.
I mean, really great service. They really, you could tell they value their customers.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do. And it's right out of the house.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not a truck. It's a stand. They're cooking, presumably, in the crib. And it's right there. So it's got this family vibe. I mean, that girl, the young girl, was clearly somebody's daughter.
You know, yeah.
Her husband's chopping the meat, cooking it, and the wife is ringing you up.
They'll run that as a family business. It'll just be a legend. It'll continue to years to come in L.A. Yeah. Be a spot to where it'll always be a family fun. You can just tell right now. I love that, too.
I think like that, it's either that or the Mariscos Jalisco were my favorite. They maybe are the tie for first because it was, you know, going from salty, savory, carnitas to like some ceviche and shrimp. It was a nice little switch up.
That ceviche was the second best ceviche I've had in LA.
It was incredible.
The thing about it though is like it was definitely different than La Cevicheria.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the Sinaloan stuff.
That's right. But it was like the shrimp was so fucking fresh.
Yeah.
The crab was so fresh.
Oh, that octopus.
And I like the thing they did with the salsa where it was kind of like a chipotle flavored salsa.
Yeah.
But it was just perfect. It's like I would have paid, and it's kind of so like cheating, cheap. You know, like how cheap it is.
So cheap.
It's like, this is like fancy food. Places. In my opinion, this is fucking high quality fucking good food.
There's
like, this
restaurants
is fancy
in Hollywood
shit what they're
charging
doing.
$30 for that portion.
That sucked, I mean, too.
That portion
that
was
fucking
huge.
Sucked.
That sucked, dude.
And then we got what we got for what, less than fucking $12, you know?
I mean, you might not finish
the first
it.
Fucking place, you know, we went
it.
And we... dude.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Kyle and I fancy ourselves some gentlemen with quality palates, and I talk about food. I've had chefs on here because I look at cooking as an art. I mean, granted, you and I aren't cooking to, you know, this wasn't a cooking event. This was an eating event. But we both cook for fun. But I look at, like, chefs as artists and cooking as an art. And it doesn't always have to be. I'm not trying to get pompous and pretentious with it. But
it is.
I respect it. So it's like listening to music as a fan, reading books as a fan, eating as a fan, you know? So, like, I'm respecting the culinary aspect of it, the presentation, the whole shit, you know?
Well, the other thing about it, too, is that other people's time and work they put into it.
Heart, passion.
You know, like,
you can taste
family,
the love. You can taste the passion.
That family at fucking at Momo's, you saw the fucking dad, you know? He was just He was sitting there chopping up the fucking carnitas and fucking.
Probably does that.
And he would separate the skin separately. Like he would take the skin from the meat and they would separate it, and then he would. It was just everything was done in such a fucking organized way that. It just works, man. Yeah, efficient. That's the word I'm looking for.
Like, they're not trying to do
fuck.
Some taco spots will have, you know, they want to offer every single thing, and then rarely is anything exceptionally special. When you focus on one thing, you make it better. I respect that more. I like that more. That usually is a sign of quality to me, because, you know, it's like fucking Cheesecake Factory, which I only went to once in my life, and I fucking hate it because the menu too. Is bigger than the Bible. It's so it big. Is. So that tells me you don't do anything good. You go to some restaurants, this is all we do. We do two things, and that's it. But we do those two things fucking good. And I respect that because that means that chef is got a specialty. They're dedicated. They have a passion, a love for this, and they really know what they're doing. They're not just like, oh, you want to... This thing or fun? I'll make a mac and cheese burger. Like, there's some dumbass shit.
Oh, catering. That's some white
just
shit.
Just catering
dude.
To you because they just want to make money, and that's trash. But nah, dude, like these guys, Momo, it's a small menu, and it was fire. Yeah, I loved it.
Well, the thing I also liked about is that it was from every taco that we had today, the reason that thing stood out was because of literally the labor of love that went into that to making that. And their menu was only what? It had three different.
Yeah, I think they
if you could get a taco with three fucking ways
and
there.
Then, or a torta, but just three different kind of meats.
They had a look, they had a customer for life when I got the free taco.
Yeah.
Whenever she handed me that taco.
That crack dealer of a woman. That's how, like, you know, drug dealers give out testers.
I saw your face.
She gave out testers with the
taco. She gives you this fucking taco and she goes, sample. And you're like, was the taco? No, sample.
I thought it was for somebody else. I thought,
oh, this is one for us. No, it's a free fucking taco.
That's how they get you, dude. Heroin dealers, crack dealers, they give out testers. This lady gets you hooked. Thank God it's on the east side because I would eat too much. I mean, what we did also, we did not eat breakfast. I just had water and coffee. So, I mean, we're driving west side to east side.
Well, we were supposed
to
go surfing.
Yeah, which would have worked up a bigger hunger, but at least this way. I was afraid I probably would have snacked after surfing. I was starving. I mean, we're like driving through traffic and I'm just so fucking hungry. I want to get there. I'm trying to honk and get around people. Very intelligent dudes we are, Kyle. We smoked weed in certain increments to help digest, right? Because you got to digest the food and then also keep a ferocious appetite because we're throwing back.
Blue Dream shout out.
And then after, so we go to Marisco's Jalisco. We get the seafood and then two blocks down on the same street is La Unica, the birria spot, which is perfect. So
we almost didn't get that taco.
Yeah, I was on the fence. I was like, should we just save room? But it's like, nah, we're out.
It's
there.
Like
let's
we're
just
already
do
here,
it.
You know. It's
let's
like,
just do it. And it was, and we were smart. There, we only ate one. We'll be honest. We shared one,
which was
it was like Lady and the Tramp with a birria taco.
We got a birria taco, and then you get a whole fucking broth with with so much goat in it already.
Yeah, that's like bone brothy. That's really good.
If
for you
were to ask for four tortillas, that amount of goat that was in there would have made four more tacos.
You know, you could have
for
made
four
extras.
Fucking dollars. You know,
and we had to do that because it's right there. It's sometimes I'm like, dude, I'm right here.
And
I
you saw all the all the Mexican families out there.
Yeah,
had the whole
you know.
Family out there. Did you see? They have like five salsa bottles in front of them.
They were killing on the table, and that's always a good sign.
I love
that. Who's eating there? You know, sometimes you want to go to a place, and you go, and there's nobody there. And I'm like, well, the good thing is I don't have to wait in line, but the bad thing is nobody's here, so maybe the shit sucks.
That's all right, so that was I'm kind of drunk, so.
Oh, Spear, spin that mic a little bit straight. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of, you know, I had a few.
Good.
But that's the thing I liked about Carnitas Momo today is that it's not like – it's like you mentioned earlier. It's not one of those taco stands that gets a big line and whatnot because they don't do – everyone's
in
– like
and
you said,
the
there's
too.
A thousand fucking –
It's not on a main street. It was on a residential side
there's a
street.
Thousand places in L.A. that do Pastor. You know, everybody wants to go Pastor. Get Pastor there, Pastor there. But – as far as fucking carnitas go, man, it's fucking hard to find really good carnitas.
Specialized in that shit.
And like, where are you gonna fucking get carnitas? Okay, that has the fucking skin in it as well.
Dude.
That's
and
mixed
big.
In.
Those were diesel tacos.
Fuck, dude.
Usually,
every bite
like
was
a smaller
like a
taco,
fucking.
But I really appreciated the size of that taco because you know what? The tortilla
God, that taco
held
massive.
Up.
Massive.
It doesn't disintegrate.
Didn't disintegrate at all. Everything about from the first bite to the
juicy.
Next. Each bite. Juicy. What did he say in This Is the End when he's eating the Carl's Jr.? Each bite is better than the previous bite.
I just rewatched
shout out
that
Seth Rogen.
I love. I only like the beginning. I like that movie before the aliens come. I like when Michael Cera's being a dickhead.
Oh yeah, and Jonah Hill being a dickhead. Blows the cocaine everywhere.
And like I think he grabs some girl's butt and they slap him.
So we talk about the doing a taco crawl, but I think the next venture is a burger crawl,
dude. But that's gonna have to get spaced out over time because.
We'd have to hit two places in one day
four. We're going to have to cut the burgers in half, which is generally a crime. In some countries, you get arrested for that, cutting a burger in half. But, I mean, unless we give – I mean, dude, an hour and 35 minutes for four taco spots is quick. Mm-hmm. If we did, 4 hours for four burger spots, then you're letting yourself digest like a civilized man.
Shot of whiskey in between each burger.
No, that might counteract. I don't know. Or two-finger dessert, like some Romans.
Oh, I did that the other night, man.
Purposely or because you were feeling sick?
No, because I was feeling kind of goofy.
Not because you wanted to get the food out.
But I tell you what, though. It helped me eat the tacos today.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I woke up so starving and, motivated to eat. I was getting, antsy. Excuse me, hiccups. As we got closer, I was like, oh, I want to fucking eat. I want to eat. I'm starving. Every car driving slow was like, this motherfucker, get out of the way. We got tacos to eat.
Well, we were supposed to hit I-10 however many fucking times.
Yeah, I know. I was not paying attention to the GPS because I was so excited. And it's people get excited to go see their favorite artists or a movie that I really want to see, or some books. I'm like, I just gotta just jump back into this or whatever. It was like restaurants. When I go to certain places, I'm like, dude, I know this place is gonna be fire. I know the presentation is gonna be crazy. This, they do the best whole snap or they do the best whatever.
Yeah,
I get excited the same way to go see a band or a movie or some piece of art. I'm so hyped for this place.
I always say that's why you're the dinner date always. Aww. It's where can I always go get a dank meal with that someone's gonna appreciate have a knowledge of the food too as well.
Having a quality palate and a respect for the art of it.
My favorite thing is I don't speak Spanish.
Oh.
And then when I go with you, I'm just like, you just order everything, okay? And I'll give them the cash.
It doesn't work in a Thai restaurant when I speak Spanish there, though.
No, I wouldn't. I would throw you out.
I go to Vietnamese restaurants with Vietnamese friends or anywhere with someone who can, if they're from that culture, they speak it. My boy from Hong Kong, we get the craziest food at Chinese restaurants that's off the menu, sick ass shit, so good. That's the best. The inside man, you get the plug.
I know. My girlfriend, she's Vietnamese and Chinese. And she looks like she should speak both languages, but, she just speaks English. But, I'm always hoping if we go out, one day she'll just bust out some fucking Cantonese.
Get that extra. I mean, the inside man is a great hookup with food and going to Kyle.
She's a good cook, though. Fuck, man. She can't speak it, but she can cook it. I tell you.
That's another
thing. Holy shit, can she cook it?
Even if you don't work in a restaurant, you're not a professional chef, but you know how to cook and you're at home cooking. I respect the fucking.
God, she made this fucking Chinese steamed fish. It was a branzino, a whole branzino. Yeah. Steamed it with tofu, ginger garlic scallions, and then a chili sauce. And then her and I just picked at it.
That sounds so good.
And I was like, it was like some shit you would get in fucking Chinatown,
I really you and I cook for fun.
Yeah.
And when I do it, I kind of treat it like when I'm not writing because I'm not getting paid off of it, but I focus on it because, if you lose focus, you're going to burn it. You overcook it. So I get excited I'm going to try this. I'm going to create this. It's kind of like when I want to write this. I want to draw this. I want to play this on guitar. It's the same thing. I see it on a YouTube recipe or I read it. I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm going to go getting the groceries for it, the ingredients for it. I get excited to go shop. Ooh, I found these clams or ooh.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of cool. And so, doing this today, I had been to two of those places. The other two I hadn't, and you hadn't been to any, so I was excited for you to experience it. And you want to see your friend try something you know is good. And then the other stuff, like the Los Tacos Arabes, I was so curious what that was going to be like, right?
That was cool.
We didn't know. The tortilla is very different. It's
Those tortillas remind me of the tortillas we get at a gas station in Texas called Stripes.
It's like a gas station chain?
So it's a gas... Anthony Bourdain actually went there.
Yeah, they probably do fire barbecue and shit.
No, they don't do barbecue. Oh, it's just tacos.
Oh,
it's
okay.
All Mexican. And they make their tortillas in there fresh, in-house. You have these Mexican ladies back there, and they're fucking... rolling out tortillas by fresh hand and then throwing them in. And then
87, and fill up the tank, and it's a fire tacos.
Yeah, and it's a fucking gas station.
It's a one and done, dude.
Like, anybody that's from Texas that's listening to this podcast knows about Stripes. And if you don't, you're not a fucking Texan.
You're not a Texan. He pulled your Texas card away.
You're not a Texan,
it got
okay
revoked.
Hey, 100 fucking percent.
Like, the tortilla
but
was...
But that's what that reminded me of to go
so,
back.
I didn't know what to expect. And so for heads who don't know, like back in the day, a lot of Lebanese and some people from other countries in the Middle East migrated to Mexico. And that's where like pastor comes from. Like obviously they weren't making pork. They were using lamb or beef on a spit. But in Mexico, they flipped it with pork. And that's where you get the pastor. This kind of tortilla is a little more airy. Almost like, I thought it was going to be more like a pita, but it wasn't. It's made from flour, but it's nothing like a flour tortilla.
No, not at all.
You had a great word for it. What did you say? It was
really pliable.
Pliable.
It was
what
very
good
pliable.
Dude, you should be a writer, bro.
You could fucking, I know.
It didn't get soggy. It didn't rip. It was
Bukowski
a big taco.
Quote.
It was a big ass taco, and it was a very unique tortilla, and it was just like asada, right? So some
steak.
Yeah,
it was just asada.
A little chipotle sauce, some cabbage, and avocado.
Yeah, some cabbage and
simple,
avocado.
Super minimal, but the tortilla was... It was unique, man. I didn't really
you could
know
take
what
the
to
tortilla
expect.
And you could fold it into a triangle.
It never would shred.
And then
it
never would rip or anything like that. It was like a pliable tortilla.
And it was the fourth stop of four. We're pretty fucking full.
God,
so like part of me wonders, would I have appreciated it more if we had it early? Because, dude, I mean, we were pretty fucking full. It was still great.
You got to start with the best first.
Yeah,
that's my
and I
thing.
Mean, it's tough, though, because like the first one, I was so hungry, I would have eaten a pile of sand.
Yeah,
you know,
I get it.
But it was really good.
When I go back and think, I'm like this, man, that first one was
it hits you.
Fucking,
it hits you hard.
It
caught
it
me
hit
off
me different
guard.
Because I love salt. And that's fucking carnitas, especially with the skin, is very salty.
Very salty, naturally.
And I like that. Look, what I'm going to say is whenever I fucking had that, I could have fucking easily drank two beers in between bites.
That's a salty
in between
thing.
Bites,
well,
dude.
I don't know why beer and salt go so well together. Like
God,
when you have
it.
Ceviche with like salty, like chips,
God, yeah.
The salty chips in a beer, or, you know, salt on the rim of a margarita, a michelada, or like just even having that with tacos, like super salty meats. That's why they put the peanuts and pretzels at the bars, which they don't do anymore.
I always see a bunch of old motherfuckers at the bar. So every morning I'll go to Hanano's Cafe. And
you guys want to find Kyle Stokes on a morning, go to Hanano in Venice.
It's on
a burger and a bag of chips.
Washington and
Pacific
Avenue,
burger.
Man.
He'll eat a burger with
I
you.
Usually get there about 8:30 in the morning. I'll have a Rolling Rock Pale Ale, and then I usually
Rolling
get
Rock.
A... Yeah.
Oh, man. That was the first beer I had. I was like four. My father gave me a corner of one. It was gross. I never drink Rolling Rock.
I don't go there to drink IPAs, especially in the morning. Like, I'm not trying to drink IPAs in the morning.
I don't try to drink IPAs ever, but I know you're more of a beer dude.
I'm a beer guy. I mean, I'm a liquor guy, but I drink about two beers a day in the morning at Hanano's when I'm home.
If you go there and buy Kyle a burger or a beer in the morning, maybe you'll get some cool like shirt, a Jane's Addiction shirt or a Ghost shirt. Maybe.
You know, dude, it's a very strong possibility because
or at least a sticker. A backpack sticker or like a pin.
No, I have no
patches.
Stickers. You would be surprised how many bands I work for I don't fucking use
stickers,
man.
Aren't as popular as they used to be.
That's
man,
a club band
a
shit.
A good sticker.
That's
yeah, club yeah. Band a smaller artist. A good or like clothing
patches.
Companies, you know, smaller businesses. Yeah, patches. But a patch requires now I got to sew it or iron it on. It's a lot more work. Sticker, boom, slap this shit on. But yeah, big artists don't do
no,
stickers.
We do
it's
patches,
promo
man.
Shit. It's
when
good
I was
for little
the,
businesses.
When I was working in the country bands, we did a lot of stickers.
Country bands do stickers.
Yeah.
I probably
because
don't. I don't know any of the bands. I probably
down
wouldn't recognize
in, like,
the stickers.
A lot of, the thing is like when you go, especially in Texas, because you know that's what I can speak on. But like a lot of those honky tonks, that's what they call them.
Oh, that's the
you know
the
it's a dive bar that play country
music,
country but they
music.
Call it
yeah,
a fucking
yeah.
honky tonk because people square dance and dudes rail each other with cowboy hats on and shit. And anyway,
I'm missing out, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they fucking slap stickers all over the fucking place there. That's like
oh,
a
like,
thing,
like little punk
dude.
Bars do that, hip hop clubs, like
yeah,
smaller
right?
artists, like reggae
and
places.
And it's the same thing as like if you were going to go to CBGB's, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'll
stickers
never see
everywhere.
Like a fucking Misfit sticker, but you'll see like a fucking band called the Blood Farts or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you'll
it's
see that
good,
sticker.
It's good
you know,
promo material for. Up and coming, even like clothing companies or like little businesses on the come up, it's a good form of promotion. You got some street team dudes, they go lay stickers everywhere. It's easy. Because a patch is something you sell, so someone go puts it on their backpack, dude, their jacket, their clothes.
No band sells more patches than Slayer.
Dude, I know. And like the patch, I feel like a lot of people buy those and they lose them when they leave the venue because they're hammered and it's small. You got the sweatshirt, you got the t-shirt on or wrapped around you, little patch, you just falling.
Dude, they wear them like at shows. It's kind of like a fucking hierarchy
thing. Do they
thing.
Make it on the metal vest?
Oh,
the
yeah, dude.
Vest.
It's but like it's
the,
like a hierarchy. So I got this one at 88.
Yeah, yeah.
First, and then
it's like somebody
fucking,
showing off their scars. It's like, I got this from here and that. From, yeah, it's like this patch is from this guy
like,
or this concert.
They get
30
like,
years
it's
of this
like,
shit.
Say there's a fucking, you know, you're trying to get to the front row of the Slayer show.
Which is crazy and if you ain't physically built for it.
And it's packed. You're like, well, fuck it. I got my patch hierarchy. Yeah. You just start going through, popping
like oh,
shit,
you
know, this dude was there in 87,
no.
You know.
Yeah,
the fucking,
it's probably like, you could speak on this maybe to military shit with... Dude, see certain stripes and medals on some of the.
Oh,
this motherfucker is. He's. We got to respect him.
You see a Vietnam vet walk by with his hat or whatever, or it says, you know, I was here at the Mekong Delta, you know, something like sometimes. You're like, all right, step aside. He gets his fucking. You know.
Ever get any, like, I don't even know what that stuff is called, regalia patches or like.
I got
medals.
What do they call that? You got your medals and whatnot. Yeah. I got like my basic ones that everyone should get. You know. And
is it like everybody gets one?
Not
no,
everyone.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
it's not like Little League now. Trophies
no,
for everybody.
I had.
You have to earn
I
it.
Had some. Yeah, I had some. You know.
You're being very modest right now. Kyle.
No, definitely. No, oh, fuck. Okay. I didn't do. I didn't get no bronze star or anything like that. Like
bronze
I got,
star. What, so how do you get the gold and
you
the silver?
You have to just do something. You gotta
gold
do
is,
something pretty heroic,
exist?
Man. Yeah, gold star, silver star. Star, Navy five star cross. The one you don't want to get is the Medal of Honor.
Why is that?
Because you either had to do something really, really, really bad,
really?
Or you're dead.
Okay.
most Medal of Honor recipients are not alive.
Oh,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
It's done in like their honor.
It's,
what's the Purple Heart for?
Purple Hearts if you get injured in war, like if you.
Oh, so like. If you just get shot,
yeah. Say or say you blow get blown up in an IED and you have a concussion and you're out for you know.
I know somebody
you get
who
fucking,
did happen to
you. Get fucking you get a Purple Heart.
Oh, okay,
you know what I mean.
So yeah, because I know JFK, the former president. He was like a war hero in World War II. He was in the Pacific and there was like some attack on his boat and he saved a bunch of his comrades, if you will.
Yeah.
And he like fucked his back up and got addicted to, like pain pills for his back his whole life. But he got like. I don't know what.
Then,
it wasn't the Purple Heart, but he got some crazy Valor awards.
Then
and
Marilyn Monroe cured his back.
Yeah, and she was curing his back, his brother's back, Sam Giacana, the Chicago Mob's back. She was curing a lot of backs.
This is so off topic, but I was driving. I was in fucking. God damn it! It was probably about 2 weeks ago. I was in. It was like right when Pride started in Hollywood, the parade. And my buddy goes. He was like, hey, let's go get dinner tonight in Hollywood. And I was like, ah, fuck, it's Pride. It's like, it's a bitch to get down there with Pride
like,
and find parking and all this shit.
I mean,
shit.
It's already hard to find parking over there.
And he goes, no, we'll Uber down. Or he goes, no, I'm driving, but I'm already in, like, downtown, so it'll be easier for you if you meet me. So I Ubered, and he was like, I'll drive us back to the west side.
Yeah.
So he was like, I told him, let's hit Formosa.
Formosa.
So Formosa is it's like one of the oldest restaurants in Hollywood. It's an old school Asian American place. It was built in 1939.
Sounds real familiar.
Bro, it's like when you walk in, it's all the fucking pictures of everyone.
Like Hollywood
dude.
Type those restaurants.
And it's like a lot of these like those Hollywood stars still have their own seats there.
Oh.
Like it's dimly lit red leather. They all dress, you know, the part.
I do like
it. It looks like
lit
a
red
fucking
leather.
Red like when you go outside of it at night. The sign Formosa is neon green with the palm trees out like that are low.
Where is it?
It's over on fucking It's on Santa Monica.
Okay.
It's on Santa Monica and
shows you I don't hang out in Hollywood.
Fucking whatever. I can't.
Okay.
Remember.
I feel you though.
But it's on. This all ties into Marilyn Monroe.
Okay. Don't worry. We're bringing it together, dude.
You know.
Hold tight, listeners. Anyway, continue.
And we go to Formosa. Have a great dinner, you know. And the guys are telling us it's kind of haunted, you know, because it's been there forever and they've had.
L.A. is haunted. Hollywood's haunted.
Hollywood is. Had a good dinner anyway. So we're driving back home, and instead of taking like the short way back, my buddy goes, "Hey, let's fucking take Sunset Boulevard back."
Oh,
and it's
idea.
Sunset. Beautiful fucking night, dude.
What day
like,
of the week are we talking?
Fucking Saturday
oh,
night.
Oh, it's brutal.
No, not going down south, though. People going to Hollywood, yeah, but not taking
okay.
Sunset all the way down to fucking Santa Monica
okay,
on Saturday
yeah.
night. So we take Sunset all the way down Saturday night, and we drive by the Beverly Hills Hotel. And if you've ever seen the Beverly Hills Hotel, it's old, but it's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It's really nice.
You see
like
Rolls Royces pulling in and shit like that.
Old school, regal.
I always remember, though, watching this documentary about famous ghosts in Hollywood on the Travel Channel.
Sounds interesting.
And it always talked about how the Beverly Hills Hotel was considered like the most famous haunted. It's like the most haunted hotel in Hollywood.
Oh, in Hollywood, yeah.
But there's actually people, there's actually like, they say the most, excuse me, it's haunted by Marilyn Monroe's ghost, is what they say.
Is that where
like,
she died?
I don't.
I thought she died in her house.
I don't know if she died there at her house, but you know how spirits like can apparently they hold on to like some certain special area, and she would stay there a lot. But from what I was from some of the research I did, like you know, just reading up, there's a lot of guests that have reported you know staying in her room,
like
seeing
Chelsea
her like in
Manhattan.
A mirror and stuff like that, you know, and whatnot, and like and it's been that way since she died, you know. But like, and it still happens today. Like I was. There's, you know, sometimes I dive into a hole and you see like these fucking like little forums that people write, like, you know, and shit like that.
Like,
but apparently Marilyn Monroe legitimately haunts the fucking Beverly Hills Hotel.
She was found dead of like supposed like drug overdose.
Supposedly,
so,
yeah.
And there was like reports because, like I said, she wasn't just sleeping with JFK; she was sleeping with Robert Kennedy as
right?
And Sam Giancana, who was the front boss of the Chicago mob at the same time. So there's like, it's not footage, but there's documentation that RFK, Robert Kennedy, had gone to Marilyn Monroe's house like 4 or 5, like within like 6 hours of her death. It was the last person.
No shit.
I mean, there's not like, he obviously wouldn't cop to it.
No, of course
there's
not.
A lot of evidence to it. And there was like.
Was he killed too? I know he
was
shot,
he got killed
but
by
he killed Sirhan as well.
Sirhan out here in LA. He got killed at, like 4 years after his brother.
And then the other one, the one after them was shot at too. Bobby,
Teddy. Well, I don't know. They, I mean, a couple died.
There's three of them. I know three. One of them in the 90s was shot at, or something like that.
I mean, the RFK assassination is it's curious. Like, you know, the some people say like this dude was under like MK Ultra mind control type thing because he doesn't know recollection of it or all whatever. Anyway, that aside, her death was mysterious, and because she was sleeping with a couple very powerful people, not just the politicians, but these gangsters who were, and these are very powerful mobsters who were in connects with the CIA to maybe try to kill Castro at one point, maybe the Kennedy assassinate, all this shit. So like there was, you know, there's a theory that, you know, maybe RFK and some of these dudes had like, because she might have known too much. She's talking a lot of pillow talk with a lot of powerful people. Maybe you know a little too much.
Why are
maybe
all...
Maybe you got to go down. Maybe you got to quiet you.
It's crazy how all three of the Kennedy brothers that were dead, they were all shot.
I mean, there's a lot. I mean,
like,
a
all
lot
three of,
it,
of them were.
A lot of it, people allege it, the Kennedy curse traces back to the grandfather,
to the
father,
to the
Joe
fucking,
Kennedy.
Yeah.
He did a lot of foul shit. You know, and maybe that's how it came back to haunt him. I mean, I can't say why RFK was killed. I'm pretty sure I know why JFK was killed.
And then they're his brother. Their brother, other, or maybe it was, I know
a
it was.
A son? Or a,
maybe it was a son or something, but like the third in line or whatever, like after RFK, I can't remember what year, maybe it was in the 90s or whatever.
Well, I mean, one of them died in a plane crash.
He was shot as well.
And then one of them died some other way, mysteriously.
Well, Robert Kennedy was shot and killed. John Kennedy was shot and killed
on TV. Like,
yeah,
daylight.
Like so. Robert and John were shot and killed, and I know fucking for a fact that the other one after them was shot. But I know he was shot at one time, but wasn't killed. Mm. So survived. Maybe he did die.
But I mean, like aside from the one that died in a plane crash, then Teddy. I think it was Teddy Kennedy. I forget which one. He like
Ted Kaczynski.
Teddy Kennedy.
He just
Teddy.
Died. Ted Kaczynski.
Oh, Teddy Kennedy,
what fucking insane is
that? He crashed a car with a girl in it into like a river somewhere in Mass, and the girl died, and he was like drunk driving, and he got out of that. That was like pretty crazy. Like that was hectic. So basically he killed a woman, like it would be considered, I think, involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah.
Vehicular homicide, but he got off of that. You know, like they're very wildly cursed family. Their dad was, Joe Kennedy was a rum runner, a gangster. He was very tight with Frank Costello and
now, see, a lot of people think that, you know, like the mob has a lot to do with the Kennedy assassination.
It does,
as well,
but it wasn't,
you know,
just them. I believe it's a perfect case of mutual interest between three parties that wanted him dead. And when you have more than one party, especially when you have three, it's easy to keep people guessing who it is, to get people more fixated on who did it rather than why. You've
Where
got,
does Lee Harvey fall into
Lee
place?
Lee Harvey then? Oswald was a CIA operative whose
Was he really?
Yeah, he was in the Army.
I know he was in the Marine Corps.
I mean, this guy went in. He was in the heat of the Cold War. He defects to Russia, which in the heat of the Cold War, that's a big fucking deal.
Yeah,
he goes over there and he's living pretty high off the hog. And then he's given his citizenship. He revoked his citizenship. I want to leave the USA. I don't want to be an American citizen. I'm going to Russia, like the big enemy. Then he's allowed back into America a year later and given his citizenship back. Dude, people in America were getting electric chair killed for having communist ties. So to get let back in, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
His uncle worked for Carlos Marcello. Carlos Marcello was the head of the mafia in New Orleans, who ran Dallas. He was under New Orleans. And he hated Robert Kennedy like a lot of them. And his uncle worked for Carlos Marcello. He was tight with a bunch of these anti-Castro Cubans. So you have the anti-Castro Cubans, the mafia, and the CIA, who all want Kennedy dead for different reasons. They all are connected, so they all play different roles. And that's the way it went down. There's no way one of those factions could have got it done.
So did somebody hire Lee?
No, he was involved, but he didn't know he was a patsy till the last minute. He was involved with it. He was, you know, part of the whole shit. He was planning. He was doing a lot of it. But he couldn't have done the shooting. Like, I've been to Dealey Plaza.
Oh, yeah.
If you go in the book depository, first off, he was known to have a terrible shot in his Marine Corps. He was a horrible shot. He was using a Carcano, which is a shitty Italian shoulder weapon. And then you're also talking about Italian mobs involved. It's got a defective scope. His gun had a defective scope. He's shooting through heavy foliage at a moving target. All these top FBI sharpshooters, none of them could do it. And it was supposed to be 3 shots. So he was a patsy. He basically probably didn't know he was getting set up until it was happening.
Yeah.
And that's why. And then he gets murdered 4 days later by Jack Ruby.
Jack
Rubenstein.
He was
from Chicago.
He owned some fucking nightclubs. The Carousel in Dallas,
Club.
Man.
He's from Chicago. He's a bookman and a pimp for the Dallas mob. He's a Jewish dude.
He's Rubenstein, mob, right? Yeah, yeah.
But he's from Chicago. So he's out there. Dallas is, you know, split between New Orleans and Chicago mafia. He runs the Carousel Club, which is like your early strip clubs.
Yeah.
And he's a pimp and he's a bag man. He had fucked up. And the Chicago mob was like, "Yo, we're gonna kill you, or you got to do this. You got to go clip Oswald when he's walked out." Now, the reason he's even let that close, they're transferring him from jail to jail, and it's on the news. You can see Oswald get killed. He walks up, and goes, "Oswald," shoots him with a .38, real close.
Yeah,
that's a suicide mission. But you would never get that close unless the Dallas cops, who are on the take of the mafia, let him come that close.
Yeah, right.
And he did it as a suicide mission. And as soon as he was in jail, he was trying to tell like all the FBI people investigating. He's like, "Yo, this shit's hectic. I want to tell you what's going on." And they were like, "We can't help you. We're this and that." Then he dies mysteriously while he's in prison of some disease. So in the first like 4 years after the assassination, something like 40-something people who were either involved or eyewitnesses died one way or another.
That always blows my like. Because sometimes I think about it, I'm like, this was just an assassination. Lee Harvey did it. Like, this was all just stuff people made up.
Like Kennedy,
and then whenever I get into it, I'm like,
Kennedy,
there's just no way.
Kennedy hated the CIA. He has a quote. He has a quote. "I'm going to destroy smash the CIA to a million pieces." He fired all these top dudes who were like sacred cows. These were untouchable guys. He fired them. He was trying to pull out of Vietnam and Cambodia. He was peace talks with Khrushchev in Russia. He was trying to do all the shit that it always comes back to. Damaged goods is so serious today. I love it. What it always comes back to is money, right? It always comes back
we're
to money.
In this one.
Vietnam War is big money. Cold War is big money.
Vietnam
he's trying to pull out of
mistake.
Cambodia. He's trying to pull out of Vietnam. He's trying to end the Cold War. That ends a lot of money for the helicopter producers, the military industrial complex.
Yeah.
They're losing money. So Lyndon Johnson was like, "I'll give you the war. I'll keep it going."
A lot of people think he had a lot to do with it.
He definitely was.
You know the quote about Lyndon Baines Johnson, right? About with the
I mean, I know
about
he was
black
like, he's
people.
Like,
and whatnot.
Oh, I don't know that, but I mean,
there's a whole reason why the blacks voted Democrats, you know, like in like from he had a fucking he was quoted saying, you know, whenever after Kennedy and he became president, he said, "I'll have those voting Democrat for the next 100 years."
So and the reason like they picked Kennedy and they picked him as the running mate. He was like, you know, Kennedy was an Irish Catholic. No non-Freemason Catholic Irish person had ever been president. He was not going to win. So they picked a dude who had to be a Democrat, but he was so far right, and he was a Southern dude.
He's from Texas, right? He's from Marble Falls, Texas. They hated each other,
but they picked him because it was the only way Kennedy was going to win. And so, you know, when Kennedy gets taken out, Lyndon Johnson's like, "Y'all want that Vietnam War? I'll keep those helicopters getting made. I'll keep that money going made." So, yeah, they want him dead. The anti-Castro Cubans got hung out to dry because Bay of Pigs invasion. Kennedy promised air support. Bay of Pigs, he didn't. Yeah. All these dudes get slaughtered or imprisoned and killed by Castro. Some escape. So they're like, well, fuck, Kennedy promised that we were going to kill Castro. He didn't. So now we want him dead. Yeah. And the mob wanted him dead because RFK, the Italian mob, got Kennedy elected in Chicago. It was the narrowest election in American history. They got all these votes from dead people. They did all this because Joe Kennedy was down with all these mobsters. He was basically a mobster. So he's like, don't worry. My son will keep y'all chill. You just get him elected. He gets elected. Then he puts his brother, his little good, do good RFK brother, as the attorney general. And he goes nuts. He's like, I'm taking down organized crime. And all the mob is like, yo, we just got this dude elected. Hey, Joe Kennedy, we got your son elected. Why is your other son coming after us?
Yeah.
And RFK, not JFK, was going hard on the mob, hard on the Teamsters. So they were like, yo, fucking, we don't cut the tail off the dog, we cut the head off the dog. Let's kill the president. And so they all have mutual interest to kill Kennedy. And I love that we're on this topic. It's nothing that we normally talk about on here, but I'm so fascinated.
And then Forrest Gump was fucking met both of them, dude.
Fucking Forrest Gump.
He went to the White House again.
Dude, Jake met the Snake, president fun fact,
of the United States again.
I don't like the movie Forrest Gump. And me and my friend, I was young, Josh Dorsey, my friend and I, we bought tickets to Forrest Gump, snuck into Natural Born Killers because we're like 12 or 11. And yeah.
How
sorry.
You not like?
Because it's stupid and cheesy, Kyle.
No, it's not.
He opens a shrimp place. He goes to Vietnam. He's
that's
a war
what's
hero.
Cool
he
about
it's
it.
So stupid.
It's this guy that is mentally that challenged. Chick. Okay, that it's a cool story about you can do anything if you set your mind to it.
You can do
it,
some
know?
Things. It was just so
like,
silly.
This guy that has no IQ and no brain, no any.
He on a terrible shrimp franchise restaurant.
Loved his mom so fucking much.
You know who else loves their mom?
You know?
Almost everybody except for Eminem. Everybody loves their mom. You do.
The emphasis on the movie, though, is love your mama, work hard, and you're going to succeed.
You're going to open a shitty shrimp franchise restaurant in Times Square that all these dumb tourists will gobble up.
Oh, there's
up.
One on Venice Beach or the Santa Monica Pier.
There's a over there?
There's the one on the Santa Monica Pier, yeah.
God damn.
I saw them fucking doing deliveries there one morning when I was on my morning run. And I saw them have the truck, and it's all like packaged fish, like not for it's like
not fresh.
We're right on the ocean, but this fish has
come. Well, this came from a vat in Thailand. Yo, what kind of tacos do you think JFK and RFK like the best?
One fucking ground beef tacos, bro.
Safe, the ones that don't get you shot in the head, right?